Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report, the podcast to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, today we're going to find out about the revival that's going on in China and also the persecution. I'm going to interview my longtime friend, Dennis Balcom, who is probably the most prominent American missionary in China. He's lived there much of his life. I'm told that he actually speaks Chinese like a native. He's the one who took me into China in the 1990s. We talk about it a little bit, but mostly he gives me an update on what's happening with the church and the government, even though he's very cautious not to talk politics. The Chinese government has always been repressive, but even more so lately. Last year, when COVID first started, I did a couple of podcasts with him when we didn't really know what was going on, when Wuhan and other parts of China were being closed down, churches in Hong Kong were being closed down. This would have been a month or so before we saw the same thing in our country. And then later, I interviewed him and got an update. You can find these interviews in February and March of 2020 on the Strang Report, if you care to look them up. One got about 150,000 downloads, the other about 50,000. That's much higher than normal because I think there's a lot of interest in China. Dennis Balcom has been on the cover of Charisma magazine. He's very well respected. He's a man of God. He talks about how the church in China is almost entirely Pentecostal and how they pray in tongues and how they advocate experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. They have to because of the persecution. And he also talks about what we may expect in our country. So stay tuned for this exclusive interview, conversation with Dennis Balcom of Hong Kong.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone. And Dennis, thank you for taking time visiting with me. There's a 12-hour difference between the East Coast of the United States, where I am, and Hong Kong, where you are. It's just amazing the technology. I'm able to record this on Zoom from home, since it's obviously not office hours. It's tomorrow morning, as far as I'm concerned, for you. It's when I visited you in China in the 1990s, we didn't have this kind of technology. I think it was probably limited to telephone back then. So welcome. And let me start by asking you, what is happening to the church? You know, we hear, of course, that the church is persecuted. Then we hear that there's a little more freedom. And then we hear that they're cracking down again. It's kind of hard for us in the West to really know what's happening.
Yes. Well, under the leadership of Xi Jinping, who is the, we call him President Xi, XI is how they write it in the phonetics, there has been a lot of restrictions on religion in general. And that includes, of course, Christianity. So in China, you have an official church called the Three South Patriotic Church, and then you have the house church. And recently, the house churches have been forced to register and come under some supervision of the government. So there's been a lot more pressure than there was in the days when you came. You know, when you came, Steve, those were the days of the opening of China. But Christianity has grown to maybe over 100 million Christians, and they're still growing because they are maybe not able to have Sunday schools and open evangelistic meetings, but they're teaching their children. They have cell groups, just like you do in the United States, a lot of home groups, and the church is still growing. But there is definitely a lot more pressure on Christianity than there was before.
How did COVID affect the church? You know, I did several podcasts with you and even used some of the material in the book that I wrote about COVID. And it was just interesting that in February of 2020, when things were just beginning to shut down here, things were already shut down over there. And you and a couple of other sources that I had were telling me that the government was lying, that there was a lab in Wuhan, you know, things that have come out since then. And I remember you telling me that in Hong Kong, the church people could come to church with a mask and so forth. You know, a month or so later, they were shutting down churches over here. Of course, for 2 or 3 weeks, everything shut down. So just give us an update on what has happened with COVID. Are things back to normal? That kind of thing.
Yes. Well, things are not back to normal because of the new variant. They call it Delta. For many months, actually, they were opening everything. Churches were having their meetings, the regular meetings, but at the same time, they're having online meetings. You know, we do it. Some people may want not to come to the church because they're used to listening at home. So because of the Delta variant, they are shutting down meetings in certain places. It's not just Christian meetings. It's basically lockdown measures because they don't want Delta to spread. Now, Hong Kong and China have done quite well. Hong Kong, we haven't had a single case of COVID for over 2.5 months. And China, they've had some cases every day. There's a few cases. The main reason is because they basically closed the borders down. So anybody coming to Hong Kong has to be strictly, you know, tested. And if everyone has to go to quarantine for 3 weeks. And then if they are sick, they have to go to the hospital. So basically, COVID that began actually in Wuhan. Now, there's a controversy that it began in a lab. I don't think that actually happened, but it probably began in that area from some animal, maybe a bat or something that communicated the disease to a human being. So it actually began in Wuhan, and the churches at that time were very active in helping people and giving, you know, face masks and going out, even praying for the people. So the church was very active, but eventually they had to shut their meetings down just until the early part of this year because they controlled COVID. Then the churches were able to open up again. But now again, like just in the last few weeks, I think it is because of the new variant that actually came from South Africa and America, Delta, they're having restrictions. They're not all closed down. Some of them are still having regular meetings, but almost all of them are going online. And even those that closed down their Sunday services because of the regulations, they still have home meetings, you know, just a few people, your family and some of the other families in the area. So that's really a lesson to us, you know, whether you have the government lockdown or you have persecution from some kind of a totalitarian state, like maybe what's going to happen in Afghanistan. So having home meetings is a really tremendous way, you know, you can keep them secret, don't get too many people. And then if you're able to use, you know, Zoom or any kind of a social media to promote the gospel, that's the best way. So that's what basically has happened with COVID in Hong Kong and China.
You know, one of the things that we are very concerned about in the West is the way that our government is cracking down in our freedoms in a way that we Americans never thought would happen. You know, we have a constitution, a democratic form of government, capitalism. We have freedom of religion. It's the very first freedom in our Bill of Rights. You would know that, having been born and raised over here. And we're seeing an erosion where the churches were actually shut down in different parts of our country. When liquor stores were open, marijuana dispensaries, big stores. So in other words, you could get COVID if you went to church, but you couldn't get COVID if you went to the grocery store. That seemed to be the message. And some of the more leftist governors, and we would have never used that terminology, they seemed almost gleeful in being able to fine, threaten jail time. Several court cases went to the Supreme Court, which ruled on the side of religious freedom. But I mean, we never thought this would happen. And there are those who say that there are people trying to get America to become socialist, but it's just kind of a nicer word than communist. And that communist China is behind this. I've actually written about it in some of my books, especially the new one called A God and Cancel Culture. So I realize that talking about politics and the government is a little, you know, risky for you, but maybe you could just observe from on the other side of the world what you see happening in America. And is there a shift not only toward the left, which is very, very obvious, but in my opinion, there's a difference between the left and the far left in communism. I mean, one is kind of moving toward the other, but just give us your view.
Yes. Well, no one really knows the future, but a lot of people talk about, you know, the Antichrist and the beast system and things like that. And there's actually a hypothesis now that in the end time, there'll be an alliance between communism and Islam. That'll be the Antichrist force. So it's interesting to know if how China will develop relations with the Taliban and with, you know, Afghanistan. But, you know, China, of course, does suppress the Uyghurs up there. But it seems like everywhere we're going to totalitarian states and control of religion and persecution. I mean, it's happening around the world. And it's just a fact of life, you know, what we're getting into this last time, and there'll be these things. And so I think, you know, Americans need to prepare for that. Now, of course, you can vote. We can't do that here, and even in Hong Kong or China, we cannot vote for our government. So you can vote and choose the people that you want to be in power. But even so, you may be outnumbered because of the wickedness in the hearts of people. So I think the really message, if all you say that is true, and I have no reason to doubt that, is we need to prepare for persecution. You know, it's wonderful if we can have democracy and for the Constitution can, you know, be upheld, but that may not be possible because we're living in the last days, and you know, the Bible says there's great darkness coming. So this is what we learn a lot from the church in China, right? You know, but we have to learn that for the sake of the gospel, we should not be too political, you see, because our goal is not to change the government or even to keep our freedoms, which we like to have. Our goal is to get people saved and go to heaven. So just briefly mention, in Hong Kong, we have these new national security laws that try to come against sedition, succession, terrorism, and collusion with foreign powers. Now, it was really because of the demonstrations and riots, you remember about 2019, and it was really, really bad. And China thought that these were people using Hong Kong as a base to overthrow the central government. So they put these really, really restrictive laws in effect, and many people that were involved in democracy movement and criticizing the government have now been arrested or in prison awaiting trial. We don't know how it's going to come up because these are new laws. And there's been 90,000 people immigrate from Hong Kong. Many of them are actually Christians because they're fearful of the future. So this is really a concern. But now in Hong Kong, we had to be very careful that we don't criticize the government, or we don't speak about political things, you know. Not that we don't have a position on that, but as a church, they're watching us, what we say, you know, even in Hong Kong because of the new situation. So, you know, we basically, you know, we say we love China, which we do. We're Chinese. I've lived here, you know, most of my life. I lived here for 52 years. This is our home, and we love it. And we're still involved in ministry into China. Our goal is to get as many people saved and, you know, to take Bibles. You've helped us to take Bibles into China. And my vision is that everybody can have a Bible that wants to have a Bible in China. So for the purpose of the gospel, getting people saved and going to heaven and revival in the church, we do not comment on political things. And all we can do is, let's learn how to be faithful in suffering and teach our people to take up the cross. I think that's the best thing we can do at this time, because I doubt that you're going to see this change, because it is a worldwide trend.
Well, that's very, very sobering. I know that over the years, American Christians have comforted ourselves by saying, look at the church in China. You know, they had this terrible persecution where when Mao Zedong came in with the great revolution in the late 1940s, you know, he expelled all missionaries. You know, I think Billy Graham's father-in-law was a missionary, and there are other examples as well. Yet the church has grown, and you just said over 100 million people. That's probably more born-again Christians than we have in our country. Of course, yes, it's a lot larger population. Yet there's other places like North Korea that, you know, years ago in Albania and different places that seemed to almost stamp out any religion whatsoever, or at least that's my view, you know, being aware of current events and traveling to many of these places. I've never been to North Korea, but I've been to South Korea several times, and into mainland China, the one time that I referred to before. But I just wonder why China has had this great explosion of revival in a way that we did not see in the Soviet Union. In fact, my friend Terry Law, who has now passed away, was one of the early ones to go into the Soviet Union and also the Eastern Bloc. And he used to kind of joke that says, anyone who believes that persecution purifies the church has not been to the Soviet Union, because the Christians had a little bit of freedom, but they would bicker and fight and wouldn't help each other and so on and so forth. Yet, at least as far as I've been to the Soviet Union five times. I saw some of it with my own eyes, and there was no revival that I could see. Mm-hmm. Yet there seems to be a revival in China. Am I right or wrong? What do you think?
Yeah, you are in a way. The persecution in the Soviet Union decimated Christianity, but the persecution in China actually unified the church and caused the church to grow. Now, the main thing is that persecution is terrible. We wish it was not existing. Of course, we are concerned about North Korea, where there's been horrendous persecution and suppression of people's rights. But there is an underground church in Korea. But while we of course know the persecution is terrible and we don't want it to happen, but in China, what persecution did, it rid the nation of the false religion. You see, the greatest problem we have is not from, you know, communism as such, even the economic system, political system, but it is false religions worshiping false gods. You see this in the Old Testament. Why did Israel go into captivity? Because of worship of false gods. So before, in China, you had all this idolatry and Buddhism and Confucianism and all this. And so when communism came in, it persecuted all religions, and all the false religions had no power. They fell away, basically. There's still people that call themselves Buddhist and things like that in China, but there's probably, as far as a true religion, the true religion of dedicated, devoted people, there's more Christians than Buddhists today in China. Now, most of the people call themselves communists when it itself is a religion. But another reason is the Chinese were, from the beginning of their nation, monotheistic. They believed in one true God. They had altars where the emperor would actually worship with blood sacrifices. You see this in the Chinese religion. But around the time, shortly after Christ, Buddhism came in and deceived the people. And they were in that darkness for over 1,000, almost 2,000 years, till communism came in and it purged the nation of the false religion. Now, in Russia, of course, you had Christianity, but it wasn't a true, you know, born-again, preaching the gospel form of Christianity. And then the government actually took control of what they called the Eastern Orthodox Church. And so I think that was the reason, because you didn't have and in China, one thing, because you had a powerful spirit-filled revival. Most of the Christians in China are filled with the Spirit. They speak in tongues. They heal the sick. You know, I've asked many people in China why you became a Christian. It was says because of the signs and the wonders and the miracles that we saw happen. And that's why I believe, because these things happen in China, God sovereignly worked, because he's bringing the Chinese people that one time knew God back to their original faith. And I believe, in a way, he even allowed communism to purge the false religions. It caused unity in the church, people to pray. And when they pray, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. If they didn't have it before, you know, when you start to pray a lot, God works with you. And then great boldness came, because they were going to be persecuted anyhow. They said, we're going to suffer. We might as well suffer for Jesus and have a reward in heaven. They went out and preached the gospel and healed the sick. And the 100 million or more Christians in China, most of them are truly born again, spirit filled. Now, you may have numerically more Christians in America, but I wonder how many are really, you know, born again and spirit filled, or just cultural Christians. So I think we can learn a lot from China. And so if it's going to happen in America, God forbid, but if we lose our freedoms and have some kind of a totalitarian state come in, well, the answer will be to preach the gospel, to have people be filled with the Spirit, get back to the Bible, and learn from China. So, you know, in China, they call me a teacher, but I say, you're really my teacher, because you're teaching me some of the most important principles of Christianity and evangelism.
Well, that's a wonderful way to explain everything. It just makes so many questions go through my mind. You know, the religion we find fight over here is probably secularism. now a more and more aggressive humanism. But you're right, the church is often very weak, and spirit-filled people are often opposed by other so-called Christians who want to kind of stamp it out. With the charismatic renewal, we saw many, many people filled with the Spirit in the Lutheran Church, the Episcopal Church, the Methodist Church. You can go right down the line. Most of that has been stamped out, in the sense that a lot of the ministers just got tired and left the denomination, and their people left with them. As one of the reasons why independent churches grew because of this. And I realize that the persecution is very, very mild, but it just shows, I mean, compared to, you know, what we've been talking about in communist countries. But there is a resistance to spirit-filled people. People make fun of speaking in tongues. They say healing is not for today, prophecy is not for today, that kind of thing. And people over here are praying for a mighty revival. And we do see some things happening, but it's like drops of rain here and there instead of a thunderstorm. But there are people that are prophetically saying there's going to be a mighty revival, but somebody else said that it's almost like they're believing that revivals are going to drop from heaven like a nuclear bomb and explode. I thought it was kind of an interesting way to put it. You know, spirit-filled people, committed Christians, are all the time praying for revival. That's just part of the culture. But it seems like as things have gotten worse over here, as our culture becomes more and more godless, it's almost as if people are praying more, if that makes sense. I'd like to wrap up this short podcast by you just doing really what you were doing before, and that is just expressing your opinion and encouraging people and exhorting them to really be strong, because all of us face some kind of opposition for being believers, some much worse than others, as we've already discussed. But we all have to be faithful to whatever God has called us to do. There's no accident that we were born in this day. So God had a purpose for being alive in this generation, and a purpose.
Yes. Well, I would basically just want to encourage all of you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray in the Holy Spirit, begin to exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says we're to covet the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, then other spirits come, and to preach the gospel. Now, just in closing, what we're doing, because we cannot travel just like you, if we do, we had to come back and be in quarantine for 21 days, which is not very, very enjoyable. So we're on Zoom meetings. I'm in China, I'm in India, I'm in Pakistan, Bangladesh, all over Africa, South America, almost every day of the week. And we're having revival conferences, and we'll have thousands of people. Just yesterday, the churches in Malaysia, because people locked down, they started an online Bible seminary, Bible college, and we have 500 people online for the dedication of this. It'll be give people a full theological degree, but they're all Pentecostal. You know what I mean? There are Baptists and Missionary Alliance and Evangelical Free Church and Anglicans, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit. See, we don't have very many liberal Christians in our part of the world. We have Spirit-filled churches. Another thing we're doing is we're providing Bibles for people. We have people that give donations, both in China, we're still able to get Bibles from the official church, so we can't take them over the border, and we give them to the house church leaders in Africa, India, all over the world. Just last month, I think I helped them to purchase about 5,000 Bibles in different nations, because they need the Word of God. And then we're telling people to listen to the Word of God, but to read the Bible and to study the Bible, because that's the way we come against all the heresies and the false doctrines. And so basically, we had to get back to the Pentecostal message, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit, go out and heal the sick and cast out devils and raise the dead and establish churches. And we do this by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we need the boldness that only comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And remember to give people the Word of God. So that's what we're doing. We thank you, Steve. You've helped us in taking Bibles. And we even got questioned by the police at that time. But you've supported the ministry. Many other people have supported. Our ministry is called Revival Chinese Ministries International, RCMI. You can just check that on the internet. And just pray for us, and we will pray for you. And I've told the Christians in China are going to have this broadcast podcast with you, and they're very happy. And they say, we're praying. We're praying for the Christians. We're praying for Steve, because they know about you, you know, because you helped me publish a book that I wrote, and so they know about you and Charisma. So they're praying for you, and they're praying for the Christians in China. So know that whatever happens, we don't know what's going to happen politically in America and more persecution or whatever, but you have people in China that are praying for all of you.
Well, thank you, and that is so encouraging. And of course, many of us pray for the church in China regularly. Going into China was one of the most memorable things of my life. I've talked about it, written about it, but you and the people who are with you had some of us tourists take Bibles over in our luggage. If I remember, I had a big old duffel bag of some kind. It seemed to me I had 50 Bibles. Seems that they were paperbacks. So, you know, they weren't real, real large. Of all the people going through, I was the only one stopped. They confiscated the Bibles. They held us for several hours while you negotiated for our release. I assume you were doing it in Chinese. I wasn't too worried personally that they were going to make an international incident over me, but they had to decide what to do. And I remember you or maybe one of your colleagues told me not to worry. The guards would sell those Bibles on the black market, so the Bibles would get into China. But for me personally, it did several things. For one thing, for several hours, probably about 2 hours, I was able to, you know, I thought maybe I would spend the night in jail until the American embassy could get me out. But I didn't do that, of course. But I was able to identify with the persecuted church in a small way. And the second thing is the government said we didn't have to smuggle Bibles because Bibles were free. I saw with my own eyes I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And it made me mad. And I raised a whole bunch of money to buy a whole bunch of Bibles.
Yes, thank you.
It was my way to get back at those communist guards. I mean, so, you know, like the Bible says, all things work together for good. And of course, in the process, formed a very close friendship with you that has endured over the years. So thank you for being my friend. Thank you for the very, very effective ministry you have in that part of the world. You are an inspiration to so many people. And thank you for taking time to do this podcast with me. And I'll just encourage my listeners to go on the Strang Report. It's all filed by date, although you can put in Dennis Balcom and it may pop up, but you can go back to February, March of 2020 and listen to some of the podcasts. Dennis told you how to reach him on line and so forth. And I just pray that you will connect with Dennis and his ministry. So thank you for listening to my podcast, The Strang Report, today. Tune in again tomorrow for another episode on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.
This is Steve. I'm back, and I just wanted to add a couple of comments. I hope you enjoyed the interview. As I said at the opening, my interviews with Dennis always take off, so I hope that you will share this on social media, friends, and so forth. Also, you know, what's going on in our country is often fueled by the Chinese communists. I talk about this in my book, God and Cancel Culture. There's evidence that some of the far left movements in our country are actually funded, usually through intermediaries, by the communists. As Dennis said, it's a very serious situation. If you listen to my podcast, you know that my book is releasing September 7th. Many of you will hear this later, but the book is off to a good start in terms of sales. I believe it's the most important book I've written. I feel like I'm a watchman on the wall trying to get Christians, especially spirit-filled Christians, aware of what's going on so they can respond, so you can understand, so we can be like the sons of Issachar, discerning the times. And then there are things to do, ways that each of us can respond. And the book ends in hope with the scripture, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. And, you know, I elaborate, of course, in the book, but I'll just say here that one of the ways is that a lot of Christians who have been passive are starting to wake up. I hope this motivates you to get the book. You can go to stevestrangbooks.com. That's probably the easiest way. Or, of course, christianbookdistributors.com, which goes by christiandistributors.com, and also amazon.com, of course. Or you can Google those names if I didn't say them quite right. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report. I believe that this one is very important. I really do. I recorded it on Zoom. That was the only way I really could record all the way to China. I hope the quality was good enough, but tune in again tomorrow. I'll be back in the studio for another episode of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.